King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits, width was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 60 cubits, 90 feet, something like that, I think. So we're dealing with a pretty important little show here. But it's about himself, so... Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent for the satraps. They're the ones in charge of all the different satrapies, one of which is the Trans-Euphrates satrapy. But then each satrapy is divided into little provinces. And one of those provinces in the western one, the Trans-Euphrates one, was Judah. So he calls the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the councils, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to assemble and come to the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So this would all be pretty accurate. What the Persian Empire was famous for was its public service. Highly organised. It had to be. Look at the size of it. Very efficient, and there were spies everywhere. Right. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the councillors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces. It's a story, you see. You can tell, can't you? Because you'd never write that. You don't need to. But in oral tradition, you need to hear it again to get it all right. Assembled for the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. When they were standing before the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble," they must have enjoyed this story, "you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound," you ready for it? "Of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, the entire musical ensemble, all the peoples, nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." I mean, it's definitely like a child's story. "Accordingly, at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews." This is the story. You can get the relevance, can't you, at the time of Antiochus the Fourth, and so on. "They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the great statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire.'" So you're going to remember this. "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Interestingly, Daniel's not in this story, so it doesn't have to be in all the stories. "They pay no heed to you, O king. They don't serve your gods, and you shall not, and they do not worship the golden statue that you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, once again in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, and that you do not worship the golden statue that I've set up? Now, if you're ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God?" Here's the line. "Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands. Little does he know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. If not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you've set up. Can you already hear the abomination of desolation set up in the temple? You know, it's all here, and they're being asked to do the same thing in the second century. So it's all very relevant, this story, and read as relevant. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. I think that translation could have been better, but anyhow. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary. He ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Well, you can know all this. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so the fire came up the top. But the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly, and he said to the counselors, was it not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire? They answered the king, true, O king. But I see 4 men unbound walking in the middle of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the 4th has the appearance of a god. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads wasn't singed, their tunics were not harmed, not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed, this is a wonderful prayer coming from the king of Babylon, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. Here we are, we're back again. For there's no other God who is able to deliver in this way. So they've an act of faith from this tyrant. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There's his prayer. Now, and I won't read this, you know it well, I'm pretty sure. The Greek versions, the old Greek, which is, the Septuagint isn't quite the right word for this, because this Septuagint is, this is old Greek anyhow, second century Greek, and there's another Greek version that was written in the AD period by a man called Theodotion, and that's the one that they generally follow. That's the one that went into the Latin and so on. It's followed then by a prayer of, they pray, in the furnace, a fire, and it's a hymn that I think you're probably familiar with. Azariah praises God for his just judgments, goes on to confess the sins of his people that have brought down on them God's just punishment. So he agrees that they deserve the punishment they've got in exile. A comparison could be made with the national laments found in the Psalter. And in context, the prayer obviously refers to the persecution of Antiochus. And part of this prayer, in our day we have no ruler, no prophet, no leader, no burnt offering, no sacrifice, no oblation, no incense, no place to make an offering before you and find mercy. In other words, they can't get the access into the temple because of what the king has done. And then it goes through the various stanzas, praising the heavens and the earth and so on. Stanza 1 calls on the hosts of heaven to praise the Lord. Stanza 2 calls on the elements from heaven. Then stanza 3 calls on the land and sea and sky and all creatures to praise God. And stanza 4 calls on all human beings, especially God's people, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All who worship the Lord, bless the God of gods, sing praise to him, give thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever. So that's the story of the... notice Daniel's not in there, because there'll be another story about a burning where Daniel is in. This is a story that's come down, and the Greek version has added into it, for the liturgy, for the synagogue, a long prayer of praise in Greek. So we come now to the fourth story. I suppose it's really the third story, isn't it? But if you consider that prayer, the fourth. And it reads, King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that live throughout the earth, may you have abundant prosperity. The signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me, I am pleased to recount. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His sovereignty is from generation to generation. A beautiful prayer from the lips of this tyrant, impossible historically, but not in our story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living at ease in my home and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that frightened me. My fantasies in bed and the visions of my head terrified me. So he's had a nightmare, obviously. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might tell me the interpretation of the dream. Another variant story, obviously. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners came in, and I told them the dream, but they couldn't tell me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me. Excuse me. He who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God. Bel is the god of Babylon. And who is endowed with the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream. O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that you are endowed with the spirit of the holy gods, and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Hear the dream that I saw and tell me its interpretation. Upon my bed, this is what I saw. There was a tree at the centre of the earth. Its height was great. The tree grew great and strong. Its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the ends of the whole world. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, and it provided food for all. The animals of the field found shade under it. The birds of the air nested in its branches, and from it all living beings were fed. Cosmic tree. I continued looking, and in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and there was a holy watcher coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, "Cut down the tree, chop off its branches, strip off its foliage, and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from beneath it and the birds from its branches. But leave its stump and roots in the ground with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let him be bathed with the dew of heaven and let his lot be with the animals of the field in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a human, and let the mind of an animal be given to him, and let seven times pass over him. The sentence is rendered by decree of the watchers. The decision is given by order of the holy ones, in order that all may live, all who live may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of mortals. He gives it to whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of human beings. This is the dream that I, Kim Nebuchadnezzar, saw. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are unable to tell me the interpretation. You are able, however, for you are endowed with the spirit of the holy gods." Then Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar, was severely distressed for a while. His thoughts terrified him. The king said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or the interpretation terrify you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew great and strong, so that its top reached to heaven and was visible to the ends of the whole earth, whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and which provided food for all, under which animals of the field lived, and in whose branches the birds of the air had nests, it is you, O king. You have grown great and strong. Your greatness has increased and reached to heaven, and your sovereignty to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a holy watcher coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the ground with a band of iron and bronze in the grass of the field, let him be bathed with the dew of heaven, and let his lot be with the animals of the field, until seven times pass over him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and it is a decree of the Most High that has come upon my lord the king. You shall be driven away from human society. Your dwelling shall be with the wild animals. You shall be made to eat grass like oxen. You shall be bathed with the dew of heaven, and seven times will pass over you until you've learned that the Most High has sovereignty over the kingdom of mortals and gives it to whom he wills. As it was commanded to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be re-established for you from the time that you learn that heaven is sovereign. Therefore, O king, may my counsel be acceptable to you. Atone for your sins with righteousness and your iniquities with mercy to the oppressed. so that your prosperity may be prolonged. Advice they're hoping Antiochus the Fourth might listen to. He doesn't, of course. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king said, "Is this not magnificent Babylon, which I've built as a royal capital by my mighty power and for my glorious majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven away from human society. Your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like oxen, and seven times will pass over you, until you have learned that the Most High has sovereignty over the kingdom of mortals and gives it to whom he wills." Immediately, the sentence was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven away from human society, ate grass like oxen, and his body was bathed with the dew of heaven until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails became like birds' claws. "When that period was over, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven." So here we have a beautiful prayer again from the pagan king. "Lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. I bless the Most High and praise and honored the one who lives forever. For his sovereignty is an everlasting sovereignty. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does what he wills with the host of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can stay his hand or say to him, 'What are you doing?' At that time my reason returned to me," once he's learned humility, "and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My counselors and my lords sought me out. I was re-established over my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are truth, all his ways are justice. He is able to bring low those who walk in pride." So that's our fourth story. And now we move to a very famous one, the fifth story, which is about Belteshazzar's feast. There was a king, Belteshazzar. He was the last of the Babylonian kings, and his father was Nabonidus. The scholars suggest, and Nabonidus, by the way, did leave Babylon. This is the period of Cyrus. Leave Babylon before Cyrus came in. For 10 years, lived down in a kind of a monastery or a desert redoubt that he founded down there. And the story is that he did go crazy. So there's some little bits and pieces there that that last story probably should be attached to Nabonidus, not to Nebuchadnezzar, because it doesn't fit him, but it does fit Nabonidus. So we'll move now to the fifth story. Excuse me. King Belteshazzar. So we're now at the end of the period of the exile. He made a great festival for thousands of his lords. He was drinking wine in the presence of the thousands. Under the influence of wine, this would be left out, children. We wouldn't want you to get any ideas about this because your parents are never under the influence of wine. But I'd like to tell you the story, and it's okay. Under the influence of the wine, Belteshazzar commanded that they bring in the vessels of gold and silver. This goes back to chapter 1, the introduction. that his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, they're doing pretty well, might drink with them. So they brought in the vessels of gold and silver that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood and stone. That's a dig at their, these gods that have eyes that cannot see, you know, all that stuff from Isaiah. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall of the royal palace next to the lampstand. The king was watching the hand as it wrote. Then the king's face turned pale, his thoughts terrified him, his limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. The king cried aloud to bring in, you could guess this, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. And the king said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever can read this writing and tell me its interpretation shall be clothed in purple, have a chain of gold around his neck, and rank third in the kingdom." All the king's wise men came in, but they couldn't read the writing or tell the king the interpretation. Then King Belteshazzar, this seems a habit with the kings of Babylon, became greatly terrified, his face turned pale, and the lords were perplexed. The queen, when she heard, thank God for women, the queen, when she heard the discussion of the kings and the lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen said, "King, live forever. Don't let your thoughts terrify you or your face grow pale. There's a man in your kingdom who's endowed with the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, he was found to have enlightenment, understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and diviners, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called. He will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king said to Daniel, "So you are Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, from my father the king brought from Judah. I have heard of you that a spirit of the gods is with you, and that enlightenment, understanding, and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the wise men and enchanters have been brought in before me to read this writing and tell me its interpretation. And they were not able to give the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you are able to read the writing and tell me its interpretation, you shall be clothed in purple, have a chain of gold round your neck, and rank third in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered in the presence of the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself. Give your rewards to somebody else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing of the king and let him know its interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar kingship, greatness, glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. He killed those he wanted to kill, kept alive those he wanted to keep alive, honored those he wanted to honor, and degraded those he wanted to degrade. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he acted proudly, He was deposed from his kingly throne, and his glory was stripped from him. He was driven from human society. His mind was made like that of an animal. His dwelling was with the wild asses. He was fed grass like oxen. You remember all this? And his body was bathed with the dew of heaven until he learned that the Most High God has sovereignty over the kingdom of mortals and sets over it whomever he will. And you, Belteshazzar, his son, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. You've exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. The vessels of his temple have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. You've praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose power is your very breath, and to whom belong all your ways, you have not honoured. So, from his presence, the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Tekel, and Perez. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the ways of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. I'll come back to that in a minute. Then Belteshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed in purple, a chain of gold was put round his neck, a proclamation was made concerning him that he should rank third in the kingdom. That very night, Belteshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, etc. In Aramaic, those three words, Mene, Tekel, and Perez, represent units of weight. Mene is the Aramaic for a mina, which is probably 5 shekels. Shekel is a weight. Tekel is the Aramaic for a shekel, and Perez is the Aramaic for half a mina.